I'm really happy to be on the show. Thanks so much for, you know, including me in the project. This has been such a fun roller coaster ride.
The following program is rated U for universal audiences and is considered suitable for listeners of all ages.
This is a presentation of Dream Realm Enterprises, where dreams are our reality.
Here we are for another episode of the Magical Worlds podcast. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, John Russell. And of course, here we talk about mostly magic, monsters, and mayhem, which is our fantasy adventure series. If you aren't familiar with it and are listening to the show for the first time, occasionally we might talk about other fantasy shows that we'll be doing in DRE, because we do, you know, these kind of things now and again. I do another podcast called DBB, which talks about, you know, the general stuff that does go on behind the scenes at DRE. Sometimes I talk about Magic, Monsters, and Mayhem, quite often, as a matter of fact. But lately, this has been the receptacle for that, though. I also talk about it still on DBB some, but DBB covers everything else that Dream Realm has going on, amongst other things. And it's, you know, also a chance for me just to ramble on, and people seem to enjoy that. But I try not to do that on this show. I try to specifically talk about certain subjects and interview interesting people who are in our cast. Today, of course, we are talking with Tanya Milojevic. I will get that right. As I learned when I was actually interviewing her, when she actually gave me her answers, that I've been saying it wrong this entire time. I've been saying Milojevic, so sort of a shortened version of her last name, I suppose, but that's obviously wrong. It's Milojevic. I think I have that right, and my apologies to Tanya and all the listeners out there for having it wrong for so long. So my funky old ears, I guess, heard it all wrong all this time. So I've been saying it for years that way, so my apologies. But anyway, we do get to talk to Tanya, and it is a wonderful interview. And she tells us a lot of wonderful things about the character of Lillian Fairheart, who she plays, and how she got into voice acting in the first place, and so much more. And it's a great interview, and it's coming up later. I'm not going to play that just yet, but that will be coming up later, and you'll get to hear it. I want to kind of touch base about some stuff on MMM. We've had three episodes now. The first three chapters of book two have gone out, and hopefully everybody's enjoying the show. But if for some reason you have not been listening to Magic, Monsters, and Mayhem, then I question your sanity, because you're listening to the show that talks about the behind the scenes stuff. And it's a great show, so you should be listening. If you haven't, please do, because I think you'll enjoy it. I think you will. If you've heard only book one, or season one, whatever you want to call it, it's a very different show these days. Book one was very much played for laughs, and I know I've talked about this many times, but it was not taken very seriously, and that was the goal at the time. You know, that was purposefully done. Let's just put it that way. You know, I just wanted to do a funny sort of fantasy style sitcom, And it was inspired by a few other things. And it served its purpose. It was fun to do. We did 5 episodes. We'd intended to do 6, but for whatever reason, there was a script that kind of got lost along the way, and we didn't actually produce it. So I was reminded of that recently. So, you know, it's a very different show this year. It's become more of a... more of a drama. I mean, there's comic elements, certainly. I'm not going to take, you know, I wouldn't take the humor out of it altogether, because what good is a show without a little bit of humor? You know, you kind of have to contrast the drama with the humor sometimes, and, you know, you have to pick and choose your moments. But yeah, it's a show like this needs a certain amount of humor. And there are times when, of course, things are fairly dark. And they will be in episodes coming up in the future. But we always have to contrast that with a little bit of light humor. And we try. But for book one, it was very much just played for laughs. And it was kind of a raunchy sort of humor. There was some bathroom humor and what have you. So it wasn't an overly clean show. It was, you know, all the episodes were PG rated, just because of that kind of stuff. But so far in this run, we haven't gone there. I've kept it pretty clean, and you know, it's just a different animal. It's just, I decided to go a different direction, and of course, I've talked about this many times on this show as well as DBB. You know, on various behind the scenes situations, and we did a beginner's guide for it as well, where I certainly discussed the differences. So if you haven't heard that show, it's out there, and you can take a listen to the MMM beginner's guide, and that will get you familiarized with the show if you aren't. So, and even if you are familiar with the show, it's also a fun thing to listen to, and gives you an idea of what the concept is and what the world is about. Not just the differences between book one and book two, but you know, it just gives you some background on the characters, you know, the main characters, and what their world is about. So hopefully it served its purpose. It's only about 22 minutes long, so give it a listen if you haven't. I think you'll enjoy it. Again, it's me rambling on, but scripted. But yeah, I've been working on some scripts for book 3, as a matter of fact. So we are moving forward as we try and get book 2 out there and get all these episodes completed. I'm also busy working on the scripts for book 3, which we'll be recording again sometime in September is the plan to start getting back into it. We're working on a few things behind the scenes, not just Magic Monsters and Mayhem, but certainly that is the main thing that we are currently doing, as you know, as we have been for over a year now. So, as we are in late August, we're coming up real quick on getting back into production so that book 3 can sort of carry on pretty quickly after book 2. I didn't want to have a long delay between books 2 and 3 for the audience to just be waiting for months and months. I don't know exactly how quick after book 2 wraps up that book 3 will hit. There probably will be a month or two or something in between. I don't, you know, it just depends on how things come, you know, you never know with the production. I mean, we intended to get book 2 out a lot quicker, but for many, many reasons, it got pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. A lot of them technical reasons, some of them casting reasons, because we had to recast a character or two, and, you know, as we were, you know, trying to finalize things, I noticed I needed a few additional scenes done and so forth. So we went back and added a few things. So we had to do pickups and such. So that also pushed it off. And then there was just the whole drawn out decision process of how are we going to present this series, because it was written as like 13 one-hour episodes. And at the end of the day, I just felt like that was too much and that it would be over too quick. And I don't know. It just didn't feel right. It just never felt like that was the right format. So I had a rethink on that. Initially, I just cut them in half and was just going to do it that way. And then I, you know, for various reasons, and if you probably all heard all this before, you know, we flirted with the idea of doing two versions, doing like a really short version of, you know, having like 10-minute episodes, 10-minute, I don't even know if episodes is the right word, but just 10-minute shorts through the week and then an omnibus version at the end of the week for, you know, which would capture two or three of them and it'd be like a half hour. And in the end, it was just like, oh, that's just too confusing. And so we opted to go with roughly 20-minute episodes, which is sort of two of the shorts put together and just not have a longer episode, you know, just keep it like that. Keep it between, you know, 18 and 22 minutes or so. And that's pretty much how it's gone. And as I've put together these episodes, and I've put together about 8 chapters so far, as of this recording, I've kind of, they're getting a little longer. They went from being about 18 or 19 minutes to now being, you know, 20, 21, 22 minutes or something. So, which is going to be more the standard format. So you're going to get just a little bit more, but they're not really long. I just think you're just getting just enough to keep you wanting to come back for more. That's how I feel about it. And hopefully that's the case. And hopefully it's not frustrating for the listeners, because, you know, they're different people. I'm the type of person, I like short, like short chapters of a book. If I'm reading a book, I prefer short chapters. It just feels like you're really moving along a little bit quicker and you're accomplishing something. You know, it's just, I guess that's just my weird way of thinking. I don't know if anybody else feels that way or not, but some people I think like shorter chapters. So I like to get things in shorter chunks. I like cliffhanger serial. I like that kind of format, which is how I've kind of designed this series to be, because it's an ongoing saga anyway, and I think it's great to get these shorter chunks, you know, on a weekly basis and just keep building the story, and you get to know these characters bit by bit, week by week. And it, to me, you get really involved with it that way. You get a chance to get involved rather than getting everything in one lump chunk, as you know, is like the Netflix kind of format where they just put it all together and poof, they throw it all out there, and you consume it in a few days and you're done with it for another year and a half. To me, that makes no sense whatsoever. You can't, you know, I don't see how you can form any kind of relationship with the audience. I don't see how any kind of loyalty to a show is created that way. You know, I grew up watching stuff that, you know, we get, you know, week to week, and we learn more, a little bit more every week about the characters and the story and whatever. So that's all. I've always liked that. I've always preferred getting things in shorter chunks along a certain amount of time. I will binge certain things, it's true, because I too, you know, as any listener or viewer, get impatient and just want to get on with it sometimes, and I want to know, you know, you get so wrapped up in it, you can't wait for the next chapter, and sometimes I'll read a book real quick that way too. But typically, I would rather have a small chunk, you know, here and there that keeps my interest and feels like a regular thing in my life rather than consume it and be done, you know. So, and I think that's better for an audience, in my personal opinion. So, you know, I'm sure there are people who totally disagree, and that's fine, you know, to each his or her own. But, yeah, I that's my theory that, you know, the loyalty with the audience will be built up over the course of time. And I'm just playing with that with this series. So we seem to be hitting the right notes, and I really hope that we are. I hope people are enjoying it, and I hope they're kind of getting hooked on it. You know, I want people to get into it and be loyal to it and, you know, can't wait for the next chapter and that kind of thing. And that's really what the goal was to create something that would have that kind of reaction from the fandom, from the audience, as it were. So hopefully we're succeeding in that. At any rate, that's about all I can say behind the scenes, you know, about what's going on behind the scenes right now. There's plenty going on, as I said, but we are going to be talking with Tanya Milojevic, who plays Lillian Fairheart in book 2 and book 3. Hopefully she'll stay with us for quite a long time. I really want this series to go on and on. I don't intend just to wrap it up in book 3 or anything like that. We might wrap up, you know, certain story arcs, but the overall series I can see going for years. You know, I don't know if it'll be here in, you know, 12 years or whatever, like Robots of the Company has been going on for 12 or 13 years, but, you know, well, I don't know. We'll see. It just depends, I guess, but I certainly can see doing, you know, 4 or 5 books, as it were, at least. So, that just really depends on you in a way. It depends on the audience. If the audience is into it, of course we'll keep doing it. If the stories are fresh, of course we'll keep doing it. We keep a good cast, we'll keep doing it, and so forth. You know, all those elements, if they continue to work as they are, then yeah, we will keep going. And that's the plan, and that's the goal. And I've always wanted to do an epic fantasy series like this. And, you know, so far so good, and it's been very much a dream come true for me. And we have a wonderful cast, so we're lucky there. It's been challenging, yes. It's been times when I've wanted to pull my hair out, and times I wanted to just say, why did I do this? I should just quit. But, you know, I wouldn't, of course. That's just stuff you go through. But, you know, no series is easy. Anytime you do an ongoing series, it's, you know, it's hard. Even Robots of the Company is hard to do because it's an ongoing thing. And we don't do as many episodes, you know, and it's not as complex. But, yeah, it's still a tough series to pull together. But we've been lucky with that one, and we've been lucky with, you know, all the things that we have released here at DRE. So, you know, not all have been as successful as others, but, you know, we've been very lucky. You know, they've at least been really good experiences, even if it hasn't always worked out. But, you know, so far with Magic Monsters of Mayhem, things are really working out, and there's a good buzz about it, and more people are tuning in and getting the word about it, you know, and getting, you know, thankfully our cast and other people are getting the word out about the show, which is where you guys come in. You can get the word out about this show. So tell everybody you know about this show. If you know anybody who enjoys audio drama, radio drama, whatever you want to call it, podcasts, then, you know, tell them about this show. If you know people who like, you know, like Lord of the Rings or Dungeons and Dragons, those sorts of things, then, yeah, you need to tell them about this show. And tell them, hey, give it a shot. Give it a listen. You might get hooked. It's really good. So, you know, if that's how you feel, then yeah, spread the word. Help us promote this show. I want to get on with this interview with Tanya. It's a fantastic interview, and she's a fantastic young lady, and we were very lucky to have her in as Lillian Fairheart. She tried out for a couple of different roles. This is the one she got because she just aced it and she was fantastic. And I knew the minute I heard her read for the part that she was so perfect for it. She was so right for it. And so I've been absolutely happy, thrilled to have her in our cast and leading it basically with this amazing character. So an amazing talent portraying an amazing character. So we're going to have a little quick clip of Lily, and then we will talk to Tanya Milojevic.
You can't mean... It can't be.
Well, Dol Ridendorff, it is. Well, you don't look happy about it, lass. I thought he was your favorite relative in the whole wild world.
He's practically my only relative. Certainly the only relative I care anything about. Now that you mention it... No. I'm not particularly pleased to hear it.
But why, Lily?
It's because of what his being here means. Oh, don't you get it? He was sent for.
By the Archbishop himself, you mean? Never.
Who else would it be? And for what other reason would my Uncle Waldo be coming back here? To Terse, of all places. He's been summoned here to bring me back to the Academy.
Oh, I see. What shall you do then?
I have to get away from here. Far away.
But what of your plans?
My plans haven't changed. I can continue what I've started elsewhere. I always knew it would mean leaving Terse in the end, but I won't let them take me back to the Academy.
Hello, Tanya, and welcome to the Magical Worlds podcast.
Hey, Jonathan. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Please, can you tell us exactly how you say your last name? I'm never sure if I'm getting it right.
So my last name is, I'll say it slowly, it's Milojevic. So it's Milojevic. Milojevic.
So I've been getting it wrong this entire time. My apologies. My sincere apologies.
I'm really happy to be on the show. Thanks so much for, you know, including me in the project. This has been such a fun roller coaster ride. I've loved it. I mean, the character grows throughout the series, and I get to really explore how, you know, let's say I was in that situation, how would I react? So, you know, I go with the script, obviously, but I've had so much fun ad-libbing with certain things and just putting myself into the character, or some parts of myself, you know. So, yeah. Anyway, amazing cast, too. I mean, I think there you've got some really solid people in this, and I'm so proud of all of us and how it's coming together. It's such a fun project, and I'm glad you're doing, you know, fantasy, because a lot of people choose sci-fi, horror, mystery, you know, romance, comedy. So it's a genre that's not as explored, so good on you for doing it.
So tell me, how did you get involved with Magic, Monsters, and Mayhem?
I had been auditioning for previous shows, and I was in a couple of shows back, like Doctor Who, things like that, random smaller roles. And I was like, oh, you know, if you need... I saw the audition notice. I was like, oh. It was in the casting calls group that we have, the audio drama auditions group. So I was just like, all right, whatever. I'll just give it a shot, see what happens. And I was, you know, lucky got cast, and I've just been having a blast. I love fantasy. It's fun. Especially being kind of like the black sheep character that people are like, oh, what are her intentions? Okay, so she wants to help her father. She is convinced he's alive, but what are her motives? Are they good or bad? That's kind of what I like. I mean, the character is complex, so it's a lot of fun.
Tell us a little bit about who Lillian Fairheart is and what she's all about.
Lillian Fairheart, I don't want to give too many spoilers here, but she is kind of like a character that's misunderstood by most people. She's trying to do the right thing for herself, and often her moral compass doesn't seem to line up with people around her. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just that she has a path that she follows that she is steadfastly connected to. She's not free to be swayed by other people. Even her friends, like you would expect her friends would, if they go, "No, Lillian, don't do that," she's going to be like, "Okay, maybe I shouldn't do that." But no, she's more like, "Yeah, well, I'm getting my dad to talk to me, so you know what? Too bad for you. You can stay here. I don't care. You're not really that useful to me anyway, so not really like that." She says it in a much nicer way, but yeah, it's fun to play a character like this that's challenging herself, learning about herself, but also adapting to whatever happens and growing. So it's great. Woohoo!
So what sets Lily apart from the rest of the cast, in your opinion?
Lily is generally a strong character. She makes some bad decisions throughout, but she kind of corrects them once she realizes what she's done. And she's learning. She's a very kind of maturely at the beginning of it. Just a very, she doesn't know herself. So she's very, kind of immature in how she reacts at first. Because she has a very single-minded focus. But then she learns a lot more about how people are, the reality of the world. Instead of just having that single focus of getting her dad, she kind of learns a lot.
So tell us how you got into voice acting.
Voice acting, I didn't really know there was radio drama, like, or such thing as radio drama until high school. But before that, I mean, as a kid, I would carry around a tape recorder. I remember I got one when I was 10 from, it was actually my sister's new boyfriend. He ended up buying one for me. And he played guitar. He liked to play and sing, make up songs and things like that. And I remember as a kid thinking, oh my God, he's so professional. This is how I want to do something like that. I want to be like that. So I remember when he bought me like this flat, rectangular shaped like recorder that had a handle on one side and an AC adapter you'd plug into the wall. Besides that, I would start doing like little stories. I had like a keyboard and various things I made sound effects with, and I kind of made one person radio dramas or whatever until I befriended some girls from the neighborhood a little bit older than me at the time. We started hanging out and I got them involved with it a little bit. So, but yeah, I still have some of that. I mean, that's when I started experimenting with voices, with different speech patterns and word usage, etc. Because we all know that everyone has a different type of vocabulary that they'll repeatedly use in their speech and whatever vocal pauses and things. So I used to practice all of that when I was a teenager. And then when I accidentally stumbled upon audio drama at my local library, picked up the books on tape. I used to borrow them from my local library. So I borrowed, obviously, I love horror. So I was a huge Stephen King fan. So I ended up borrowing Pet Sematary and for school, Tale of Two Cities, because, of course, we all had to read that in 9th, 10th grade, whatever, 11th grade. And I started listening, and they were both BBC audio dramas, and that's what got me hooked. So, I don't know. That's just how it got started. I just kept going. I found out eventually, by accident, I stumbled upon Voice Acting Alliance, and I discovered that anyone could audition if they got a microphone and did a little bit of sound treatment, which I didn't know at first, but eventually learned, like, yeah, you need sound treatment. Otherwise, everything's going to sound echoey and absolutely horrible and tinny or whatever. So step by step, I just got more and more involved and learned and tried to ask as many people as would be interested if they would like to give me feedback. I also listened to my performances and compared it to other actors that I admired, and I tried to learn and just improve as I went. I listened to a lot of audio drama because, it was like addictive to me. I used to just consume audiobooks for a long time, for years. But when I discovered audio drama, it was like audiobooks 2.0 because it had sound effects, music, multicast. It was just, it would suck me in so much as the listener. Like Jack Ward just said the other day for the Sonic Echo, that it was said by one of the writers of a Nightfall episode that I'm blanking on his name now, that audio drama is an experience between two, the listener and the station. Which is absolutely true. It's between the listener and the radio program that they're hearing. So it's like meditation. You're able to let go, forget all of your problems, just slide into the experience. It's kind of like virtual reality if you get into it enough. So that's what it was for me, audio drama. So to contribute to that, to create an experience for someone that's sitting there and listening in some way, or moving around and listening, or whatever gets them into that headspace where they can just let go and focus and do something else on the side, like, that is my goal. So that's how I got into it, and it just went from there, and I'm going to be voice acting till I die, because that would just make me happy. That's my form of meditation. That, and of course, listening to other audio dramas, to whatever I can, you know, download and listen to.
Well, what kind of characters do you like to play?
I have a lot of fun with authority figures, characters that are very strong, that have authority of some sort, or characters that are evil. If I had to pick one of those two categories, I'd probably pick evil, just because they're fun to play. They're sometimes over the top, but sometimes they're very serious and scary, and they put a lot of anger into their voice or what have you. So for me, like, when I get to play it, it kind of feels like I'm releasing a lot of emotion. Not that I'm not healthily releasing, but it's just, it's one of those rushes that you get as an actor because you're putting yourself in that energy and you're kind of just putting it out there. So I don't know, it's fun. It's just, it's like, because I'm a horror fan in general, I love the adrenaline rush when you get scared. So if you put yourself in that headspace and you're expending a lot of energy to try to get that tone right and really feel it while you're acting so that it sounds genuine. So yeah, it's a challenge. And I like that because, I don't know. I feel like I'm working hard to get that, whatever I'm looking to get. And if it comes out believable, then I've done my job right. It's just a, yeah, that's all I can say, I guess. I don't.
It's great to have you with us, Tanya. Thanks so much.
And thank you so much for having me on the show. This has been a pleasure, and I cannot wait to see, because we're at this point with recording, what happens in season two, you know, where Lillian is going to end up. And, you know, I'll just, every time I get a new script, I'm like, ooh, let's see what happens. Woohoo! Let's record. So, yeah, keep up the excellent work with the show. I'll be listening. And for those of you who haven't heard the show yet, check it out. It's a lot of fun. It will take you on a roller coaster of expectation where you think you know what's going to happen, you're pretty sure, and it doesn't. It's like something completely different happens than you expect.
It's great to have you with us, Tanya. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, Jonathan. Have a good one.
All right. Well, that was our talk with Tanya, who plays Lily, and she's, of course, enchanting and wonderful. And it's wonderful to hear her thoughts and she's so complimentary to the series. Thank you so much, Tanya, for joining us. And thank you guys for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. I hope you enjoyed the interview with Tanya Milojevic. And I think I'm saying it right now, hopefully, after a number of years of mispronouncing it. And I'm so sorry to Tanya for doing that. But, you know, it's not an easy name. But so, you know, there are some. There have been a few over the years that have been a little tough. So we do our best. We do our best. We do our best. Our intentions are good. Let's just put it that way. So anyway, but she's fantastic. She's amazing. We're so lucky to have her. And I'm sure listening to that interview, you could tell how lucky we are to have her, because she's such a thoughtful young woman and intelligent and an amazing talent. So thanks, Tanya, for the interview. And thanks so much for your hard work on this series. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you for the continued support and the love. And keep listening and keep spreading the word, please. So if you know, there's all kinds of great information about characters and so forth on our website, dreamrealmsite.com. You can go there and you can hook up with us on various social media outlets like Twitter and Facebook, that sort of thing. Our shows are now on YouTube, so you can listen to our shows on YouTube. You can listen to our shows on iTunes. You can listen to our shows directly from our website. If you visit our website, you can actually own a Magic Monsters and Mayhem limited edition t-shirt, a very limited edition, because within a few days, that campaign is going to end. So this is your last chance to actually own that t-shirt. We may have other MMM merch coming your way soon, but the t-shirt, yeah, when it's gone, it's gone. You know, that's going to be it. The campaigns only last for so long, and we're just trying to raise a little money so that we can keep bringing you our programming. Because it costs a lot of money to maintain a website and the podcast feed and so forth. To do all this, it's not free. You get it for free. We do not. So it's right out of our pockets. And just to recoup some of that loss, we are running some promotional campaigns where you get some cool merch. And, you know, we just benefit from being able to stay on the air, as it were, to keep coming. So we're not begging for money, and we're not even saying you got to go buy the merch. We're just saying, you know, if you want some merch, you want some cool merchandise, you want a cool t-shirt, there's a Robots of the Company mug up there, and there's other stuff coming soon, but these are limited edition things, one time only, for only so much time. So you've only got a few days left to get that MMM green t-shirt. It's a cool looking t-shirt, I think. It's got our logo on it. And, you know, if you like MMM and you'd like to wear a t-shirt and represent, you should go buy that. But if you don't want to, that's fine too. Just keep listening. You know, whatever you do, keep listening. Thanks, guys. Spread the word, as I said, about the show. And come back and see us again, because we'll be talking some more. And we're going to have an interview with Shannon Lowry coming up on the next episode sometime next week, who plays Divine, who is Lily's best friend. So that'll be interesting. She's a cool person as well and very talented. And it was a pleasure talking to her. We've already recorded it. So you'll get to hear it next week. So tune in then. This episode is getting very long, and I apologize for that. But hopefully you've enjoyed it, and hopefully you enjoy the show, and hopefully you'll come back to see us. So please remain on the path. Thank you.
This program is copyright 2018, all rights reserved, and is brought to you by Dream Realm Enterprises. The journey continues.